Petersfield's Shine Radio. Meet Generation Green. Young voices with the environmental issues that matter to them. Generation Green from Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hi, my name is Meg.
And my name is Sasha.
And we are going to be talking about plastic bans this week and how plastic in general affects the environment. Sasha, go ahead, start us off.
I like this topic, definitely. It's really interesting. It's kind of come in, I mean, it's been in practice for a little while now, because it was it 2015 when the plastic bag charge came in?
Yeah.
It was a 5p. It was October, I think. I'll have to check that. So I think people have been aware of it for quite a while, but I think it's just become a bigger and bigger thing. And I don't know. I think a lot of things have kind of changed and got better, the plastic bags, but then there are still some issues, I think, especially the bans.
So do you think that supermarkets are, you know, the main culprits here?
So obviously supermarkets banned single-use plastic bags in 2015, because that was a ridiculous amount of plastic being used. I think it was 7.4 million plastic bags that they gave out in 2013. That's according to the gov.uk website. And so that's 133 bags per person, which is absolutely crazy. Obviously, the charge worked, and it took 9 million bags out of circulation and reduced bag marine litter by 50% by 2018. Oof. So that's amazing. That's one thing that has worked. But then I guess if you walk down an aisle in the supermarket now, you see single-use plastic everywhere. So kind of cancels it out. I don't know.
Well, Greenpeace has said that the top supermarkets in the UK flood Britain with 59 billion pieces of plastic packaging every year. So it's amazing that the bag, 5p bag charge, such a good start.
Yeah.
But gosh, there's so much more to do, isn't there?
So hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
Like I went to my mum the other day and she went, people don't think about how far away a billion is from a million. And I always just, even just being able to comprehend the number is crazy.
Yeah. And if we think about 7 billion people in the world, my goodness. it's just madness.
Yeah.
So they are... We talked a bit about this with Tamara last week about the trialing of the reuse and refill in the major supermarkets. It was that Asda in Leeds, which is super cool.
Yeah, I've seen in kind of greengrocers and a lot of like health food stores. I know the brand Tub in Petersfield does this, but you can now kind of use paper bags or bring your own containers. And a lot of places are trying their reuse and refill, which is amazing. I think I noticed it especially with toiletries and like shampoos and conditioners, body wash and that kind of thing, which will come in these little plastic bottles. So we've gone back to bars of soap in our family, which is great. But I think it's ridiculous that I used to buy a new plastic bottle every time I needed more soap.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's great because places like Lush and the Faith in Nature brand all have, you know, a lot of options as well now for all different types of hair, and it's not just, you know, here's soap for your hair, it's, you know, proper stuff, if you will. So those major supermarkets that haven't gone to refill reuse style yet have supposedly committed to halving their plastic use by 2025, so they've committed that to Greenpeace, if you will. And I think that that's kind of on hold, and that's just what I think. And you know, they're prioritizing, you know, helping people get groceries, which makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
But I think, that number might be pushed back to more like 2027 or something.
Yeah, that wouldn't be surprising to me, I don't think.
Yeah. And they've also kind of reinstated plastic bags, I think, a little bit as well, what we have anyway. When we get deliveries, everything comes in a plastic bag, which is
not
ideal.
Because we've gone back a little bit. Yeah.
Yes. I guess necessity is taking over.
Exactly, yeah. It's difficult because obviously everyone's having a tough time at the moment, so it's what we prioritise, I guess.
Yeah, prioritising survival right now, I think, which is fine, but it's hard to see as well.
How do you think Britain is doing in terms of like single-use plastic compared to other countries?
Hmm, Oh, I haven't really thought of that. I think,
yeah,
to be honest, I think a lot of countries are doing it better. Like, is it in Italy that they have those fountains everywhere?
Yeah.
And it's like fresh water for everyone. And we don't have that, or at least we don't have it as much as we should. So that's
I've completely gone blank on the country, so it's probably isn't going to be that helpful. But there was a marathon in a country last year, and they used biodegradable seaweed pods of water that you just put in your mouth and pop like at the water stations instead of handing out thousands of bottles, plastic bottles of water, which I thought was amazing. And I was kind of looking into a bit about plastic bans in different countries and that kind of thing. And Bangladesh have had a plastic ban on plastic bags of a certain thickness since 2002, which I think is very ahead of the time. Like, that was before I was even born. So
oh my God, that's so weird. Don't say that. Yeah, that's that's crazy. So I guess on bans in general, we've just had a ban on straws and
cotton buds.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And like plastic bearers as well.
Yes. And I was talking to my friend about this, who is disabled, and she was saying how it's really unhelpful for disabled people to have those straws banned, because they actually aren't contributing that much in comparison to other things that could have been banned. They are not a big factor, but they are a big factor in disabled people's lives, in that they're bendy and they are, you know, they help people drink, and that's fair enough.
They don't. Yes,
they don't hit your teeth or the back or the roof of your mouth if you're using a metal one. You know, plastic is just their safest option. And I think it was really over glorified, kind of. And that's just, you know, what I'm thinking is that it was kind of pushed a bit much when it wasn't as much of a success as I think that we thought it was.
Yeah.
And I celebrated it too. I was like, amazing. And then I had this conversation.
Yeah. And I didn't even think about it. And then I saw on like social media platforms kind of the struggles that disabled people have now, because it's like, can't use a metal straw. Yeah, it's difficult when paper straws dissolve. Yeah. It's tricky. Obviously, I don't think about it because I just don't get a straw. I just ask them not to have a straw. But for a lot of people, it's kind of vital. So.
Yeah, and I think there's lots of things like that, like medicines coming in plastic. I know I've said that before. And even with plastic bags, like sometimes, you know, you can't hold like paper bags in your arms. You have to have those handles. And I actually don't think it's about banning those things. I think it's about coming up with sustainable solutions. So although you might think a metal straw is a sustainable solution, how often do you actually, non-disabled people? Yeah. How often do you actually use a straw as well? Like, I don't ever use a straw basically. And like just keeping them aside for those people that need them, I feel like it's not.
I think it's also a little bit of like a lack of solution, because obviously we have got solutions out there, but ironically, disposable plastic bags require like fewer resources. So like land, water, CO2 emissions, that kind of thing to produce than paper or cotton or like reusable plastic bags. And it's quite a wide margin. So Denmark's Ministry of Environment and Food found that you would need to reuse a paper bag at least 43 times for its use to be equal or less than a typical plastic bag.
Wow.
So I just think I didn't even think about that. Yeah. And it is, I don't know, it just makes you think, like, are we even doing, is it even any better? Does this not just cancel out the plastic that's not going into the sea with like other environmental issues and that kind of thing? Like and also an organic cotton bag has to be reused 20,000 times to produce less of an environmental impact than a single-use plastic bag. So that is, to put it into perspective, that would be like using a cotton bag every day for nearly 55 years.
Wow.
So yeah, I think when you think about it like that, it does make you think, God, how do we get around this?
Yeah. It seems
tricky.
It is tricky. And I think it's hard, because what you want to say is just get one of those bags that is made of, you know, old plastic and that you can reuse like 100 times or whatever.
Yeah.
But then my thinking with that, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it will just end up in the ocean anyway. But I know that it's like that you're therefore not using continuous ones, but I don't know. Somehow in my mind, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So what effect, why should it, you know, why can't we use plastic? What effect does it have on the environment?
I think the biggest thing that comes to mind for me is plastic bags. You hear stories all the time of turtles swallowing plastic bags, or whales thinking that it's a fish and eating a plastic bag. You see, and with birds, and you see pictures of birds with like plastic coming out of their throat and stuff. That's kind of what comes to mind immediately when I think of issues with it. And there was a statistic ages ago that said, oh, by a certain date, there's going to be more plastic in the ocean than sea life. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't a true statistic, but it kind of made you think about how much plastic there is in the ocean.
Yeah, there's that island of plastic, isn't there? Somewhere out there. It's like just a full island of plastic that you could walk on because it's so solidly, which is madness. And
I know.
Even if people didn't care about animals for whatever reason, we still eat those animals. So they eat the plastic and then we eat them. So we're eating the plastic that they
eat. Plastic particles,
Yeah, exactly. And we're, you know, I think as we evolve, we might become sort of finding plastic in a way. Like our bodies will change to be able to eat it. But God, why would we want to?
No, I can't say it seems very appealing to me.
So, and I was looking as well at recycling, and Greenpeace was saying that recycling kind of doesn't work. And I think it's an excuse that, you know, I've used it before. I think a lot of people say, oh, well, I'll recycle it. But only 9% of all plastic gets recycled. And when it does, it'll end up back in the oceans, as most things can only be recycled a few times. So, you know, it's sort of this brutal cycle of you know, even if things are recyclable or whatever. I guess I don't know the solution, but I think that it's got to be something to do with using up what you have first of all, and then I guess like limiting the demand for things that are in plastic, you know, by buying things that aren't in plastic, or making your own, or like I'm gonna start making my own face paint for my makeup.
Oh, cool.
I don't know, but like, you know, just like there's, I just it's hard, it's really hard, and plastic is such a difficult issue. But in Petersfield we have lots of good options out there. You know, there's lots of local stores that reuse their hangers and don't use plastic and stuff like that. So there's something
I think this is one of the most difficult things we've talked about so far to find a solution to.
Yes.
I think a lot of the time, I think it will probably just come with more scientific discoveries and that kind of thing, and more clever people thinking of amazing solutions. But I just think it's something that's just a lot harder to think about. And I think people are doing what they can, and obviously it's amazing. And I think Peter is doing really well. But yeah, it's a difficult one because you can really probably find an issue with anything.
Yes, exactly.
Any alternative, so.
Yeah, and I guess as we sort of run up to Christmas, as we run up to Christmas, I guess it's nice to remember as well that a lot of small businesses, not necessarily local, but just small in general, don't use as much plastic as the bigger companies, which is lovely. And I also think that a personal or personalized Christmas gift from an independent business is so much nicer than, you know,
I agree,
a random thing last minute. And they are normally more sustainable for whatever reason.
I actually bought a skirt today from Forget Me Not in Petersfield, so the vintage store, and it came in a paper bag, which was amazing. So no plastic there. All the hangers, I know you said you were talking about reusing them, I know they reuse all their hangers, and so that was kind of an example there,
And this, and as we say probably every episode, is that we're so lucky in Petersfield to have a ton of secondhand vintage stuff like that, where there's all sorts of places to buy cool things. And you were saying before in our fast fashion episode about, did you say about hand-me-ups and like reusing clothes and stuff?
Yeah, a lot of the time I see a lot of hacks of this online. You have like a baggy pair of trousers that you can turn into a dress with no sewing, and you can just wrap it a different way, and things like that. Obviously, I think I spoke about the clothes swap that I did with my friends. So we just talked about the clothes you didn't want, did a massive swap, which was amazing.
Definitely. Yeah, and that obviously involves no plastic, because
of course,
you're not, you know, wrapping them up for each other. And I think also with vegetables and, you know, that kind of thing, we're kind of blessed in Hampshire with a lot of nature and plots, and a lot of us are likely to have gardens or a garden plot, and therefore can grow food, which is awesome. Yeah. And I think people think it takes a lot more work to grow than it does. Yeah. And I've just started growing my own food. Well, not my whole meal, but bits and bobs. So I'll literally just go out there once a day, garden and water them, and then walk away. Yeah. And there's none of this extra maintenance. I think people...
Yeah, it's been amazing, actually. What have you been growing?
Growing garlic, peas, broad beans, and I'm trying to go grow cauliflower, but it's not really the time of year. But trying.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, we've been doing, what have we done this year? We've done carrots, potatoes.
Nice.
And then we've done like chili, tomatoes through the summer. Obviously, it's not their season anymore, which I'm really sad about, because I don't think we bought tomatoes for the whole summer.
That's so
cool. It was amazing. We just had enough from the garden. So obviously no plastic there. Garden centres are pretty good, actually, for... they generally use a lot less plastic than normal supermarkets and that kind of thing. I went to Ailings is it Rogate or Rake?
No idea.
But I'm sure people listening will know what I'm talking about. That garden centre, I went there with my grandma to buy seeds, and they were all in reusable packaging and that kind of thing.
Yeah, the one that's in Petersfield, I forgot what it's called, is... has bulbs just in a bucket, and you just take a paper bag and you put them in the bucket, so you're not buying all these seeds and the bulbs aren't in bags. Like it's pretty cool.
That's great. I saw that in Winchester today, actually, because I go to college there, and I walked past, it was like the last market today before second lockdown, and I saw there's always a guy that sells flowers. And he's changed in the last, I think quite recently, I think probably in September he changed. And now normally he would gift wrap the flowers and stuff in like a plastic, like a, what's it called, cellophane.
Yeah.
But this week he was doing it all in recycled brown paper. So that was amazing.
That's so nice to see. Yeah. Small businesses, like we said, just usually have it down, especially nowadays as well. I think a few years ago maybe a bit different, but now I think it's kind of what is marketable about them, is that they often are more sustainable than, which is great.
I was going to say, one thing that I notice is the amount of just unnecessary plastic in certain things. Like I'll go into a bookshop and want to buy a notebook, and then they'll have one with like a plastic, big plastic casing over it.
Yeah.
Or you have to buy a notebook. Or like you want to buy, like I was shopping the other day in the supermarket and I needed bread rolls. So I went and I saw, and all the bread rolls inside this big plastic bag were individually wrapped in plastic.
Oh my God.
Is the point? What is the point of that?
Yeah, that is silly. It's a problem in that sense, in that people are just doing it to do it, and it's not just about because what plastic is really for is preservation, right? We put them in the bags to stop them from going bad before they can sell. But things like bread, you're right, like just they don't need it. It's just unnecessary, isn't it? So,
another thing that I always notice is when my dad picks up cans of beer or whatever, like the six or the eight, they're the thing that joins them, like the, I don't know what to call it, but it's made out of plastic holder. The ring holder. Made out of plastic anyway, and that's like a massive killer of birds. I read something always getting stuck in birds' throats and stuff because they're just little and can easily choke. It was Strongbow, the cider company, I think a year ago pledged to start looking for an alternative, put together the cans. So yeah. I think most of theirs are just in boxes now, which is good.
Yeah. I think that's, as I shop now, it's I kind of look for it a bit more because there are options now. So I think if you can, you know, if you can get the other option, why not get it? And then you're kind of lessening the demand, like you said before.
Yeah,
taking down that demand for them. As people might consider buying more sustainably, and you know, you might, something that I search and that probably most people search is like eco-friendly and then the product that you want to search, or sustainable and then product. The issue that I've come across anyway is that a lot of things will say this is biodegradable or this is sustainable, and they'll just sort of slap that on there because there's no sort of law or limit in the UK to say that you can't do it. So even if it's 20%, you know, sustainable, they can still put sustainable, and then it could be 70% plastic.
Yeah, it's like with eggs where you're allowed to say like farm fresh or that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like there's no law against that, even if it's, you know, battery farm fresh or whatever.
Yeah. it's wild. And so I think what I want, what I think people could look out for or should look out for, and I've tripped over this so many times, is when it says, you know, biodegradable, sustainable, you should always look for their fine print stuff, and it will say something like our story, and then at the bottom of that it will say like read our green promise or whatever, and then once you've read that it might say something like our products biodegrade over 500 years, and you're like, oh, so they can still say it's biodegradable because it will biodegrade eventually.
That's so stupid, because then you could say everything is biodegradable.
Exactly. And so just a suggestion, I guess, is to always just double check and just have a look at the fine print, and or even go on forums and just search like, is blank product actually biodegradable, and probably someone has noticed that it isn't or it is. And
that's something I've never done before. I always trip up with that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
It's so easy to fall into, because you want to believe that they're trying, you know, you want to be like, yes, amazing, but yeah, it's hard. I think something that's always a good option is cork, because we know that cork is biodegradable. So if something says 100% cork, amazing, you already know that. So I think knowing a little bit about products as well is, or materials, is helpful as well, and like linen and things like that, knowing what is actually sustainable. And then you can, you could almost, you know, when buying things, they might have not an ingredients list, but what do I mean, like a materials list. Oh, I know that's sustainable, I know that's sustainable, and things like that.
But yeah, if anyone remembers their GCSE / O-level chemistry, think about the life cycle assessments, because you learn all about the materials that are more biodegradable and better for the environment and that kind of thing there. I still remember that, which, so obviously that's why chemistry taught me something. It's probably because it was the only bit I was interested in.
But fair enough. I think it's as simple as typing into Google what products biodegrade, and then, you know, you look at that list, and then you maybe have it in a note, a sticky note on your computer, a digital one, and then when you go shopping you just have it next to you, and then you're set. I think often it's seen as such a difficult lifestyle, being either zero waste, plastic free, whatever, but I think it's actually just about knowing a little bit more and kind of investing, you know, one weekend to learning a little bit about products and where you could buy your cleaning materials every month, and where you can buy, you know, certain things every month. And once you've planned that, it's just as easy as going through your normal list.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and it's just that little bit of planning over one weekend, which
It's like, if you can plan your meals and that kind of thing, then you can probably plan which bits are better to buy and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So. And also, it's probably half done for you, because when you look things up, often there's, if it's not real, if you see what I mean, it's not actually sustainable, they'll often be, you'll look it up again to sort of search it, and then news articles will come up saying this isn't real, or Reddit threads or whatever. Yeah. And then you don't actually have to look into it that hard. And, you know, somewhere like Worth London is a website which collates lots of different things that they've checked for you and that you already know, and they do like cleaning products, clothes, beauty, and it's all already there, which is yeah. awesome and helpful because you don't have to research them.
Exactly. What was it called? Worth London.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Generation Green. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about, do send it in at team@petersfieldradio.uk or 01730 555 500.
Young voices with the environmental issues that matter to them. Generation Green from Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, this is Hugh Bonneville. And finally, you and I have our own local radio station right here in Petersfield. It's our station, made by the people of Petersfield, and that means we don't just have to listen, we can get involved too. We can influence what Petersfield Shine Radio does, we can help it cover our interests, and we can tell it off in public if it gets something wrong. You make it shine. So join me and support the volunteers by spreading the wonderful news that Petersfield Shine Radio is here.